On this podcast, we discuss medical diagnoses and procedures. All of the guests express their own opinions. You should always seek medical advice from a trained and credentialed professional when making decisions about your own health. Welcome to the Sleep Apnea Stories podcast. I'm Emma Cooksey, and I've been coping with sleep apnea since childhood. I didn't know anyone in my life with a sleep disorder, so I decided to start this podcast. I'm here to build community and provide a platform for people with sleep apnea to tell their stories. Together, we can shatter stereotypes and raise awareness. We'll be exploring all sorts of treatment options and lifestyle choices to help you live your best life with sleep apnea. This is Sleep Apnea Stories, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey there, it's Emma Cooksey here, and I'm your host. So before we get on to today's episode, I just wanted to update you guys on the shop section on my website. It has another affiliate link for you guys, and it has a discount when you order with Sleep Play. So they are an online CPAP supplier, and they have, you know, everything you can imagine to do with CPAP. They have all sorts of accessories. They have the parts you need to replace all the time. It's a really easy to use website. And I just tried it all out just to check I was happy with, you know, like how quickly the stuff got here and all of that. And I was really impressed. And one of the great things about this company is every order you make, they have a little flyer in the box that invites you to make an appointment with one of their respiratory therapists to make sure, you know, you have all the help and support you need. So I was like really blown away by that. I think it's really impressive. And as we all know, like CPAP can be really hard. So just to have a company that gets that and is actually offering a practical solution, I was really impressed. So if you want to save 10% at Sleep Play, it's down there in the show notes. And you can go anytime to sleepapneastories.com and then click where it says shop, and you'll see some other things that you get discounts on. And all of that helps to support the show. So I really appreciate anybody using any of those links. So on to today's guest. Today I'm joined by Dr. Jill Ombrello, who is a dentist in Dallas, Texas. And I just love her. I wish I lived closer to her. I think we would like have a real giggle if we got together. I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. She talks all about different, you know, patients that she's had and some really interesting stories. So briefly, Dr. Jill Ombrello is a holistic family dentist, certified functional medicine practitioner, and a special needs patient advocate. Her special interests include holistic health, sleep and airway management, early interventional growth and development therapy, collaborating with like-minded healthcare providers, including pediatricians, ENT physicians, chiropractors, nutritionists, functional medicine doctors, and many more. So we talk all about the need for collaboration, and I just really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you do too. Here's my conversation with Dr. Jill Ombrello.
I'm fangirling a little bit because I follow you and I've heard so much about you. So cool. I'm just so honored to get to chat. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me was what I was going to say. Well, perfect. I really appreciate that. So I feel like oftentimes when you're podcasting, you put all this stuff out into the world and you just assume that everybody is listening to every single episode, and they're right. Not. So every time I do an episode on a different treatment option, I get a ton of people saying, I don't really even know what that is in the first place. So I want to be sure to not get ahead of myself. So I wanted to start by just, I've done some episodes on oral appliance therapy before, but I just hoped you could start from the very basics for anybody who hasn't even heard that that's a treatment option for sleep apnea. If you can maybe tell us a little bit about what oral appliance therapy is and start from but there.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a really great point, because as we get start talking about air development and snoring and all of these symptoms and which appliance do you like and is it BPA free, we can get so overwhelmed. We forget that just sometimes the mom off the street, or, you know, as parents, we're so overwhelmed, at least for me as a mom, I'm so overwhelmed with information, let alone disinformation, stuff that's not even right, that I'm, you know, it's hard to know where to look or if I'm even interested. So I think it's important, if we really get back to basics, I think it's important to understand maybe a little bit about my background and why I landed here in this space.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm a fourth generation dentist. And so I had the privilege of being treated by my father in the 80s as a child with removable oral appliances to help fully develop my upper and lower jaw. And in the and when we were doing that, it was really as an alternative to braces. It was for yes, whole body health, but my parents' challenges in the 80s of raising children are quite different than the challenges now we have in 2023. Part of that has to do with the water sources, with the quality of food, with the electronics. I grew up, thankfully, in a cell phone free childhood. So yes, I benefited from these oral appliances in the 80s to prevent having to have braces. Who wants metal braces? But what happened long term is that I do have a fully developed airway. I sleep beautifully. I go to bed at night. I wake up in the morning with a fresh brain. I would like a cup of coffee because it's fun.
Which is how you're able to have four children and be a dentist.
Exactly. And I'll tell you this, life is so good. I actually got a puppy. So like, what planet, right? What planet does that make sense? But I enjoy a cup of coffee, but I don't need it. And as I'm, you know, looking at my mom friends who are my, you know, 30s and 40s, and I'm seeing how they're functioning, it is so concerning, because like I said, I sleep beautifully and I'm barely making it. Let's be honest, right? Yeah. Luckily, I only left one kid on a curb last week. I only forgot to pick up a kid one time, right? And that's just because I was unorganized, not because I'm tired. So it builds a lot of empathy within me looking at friends. And I'm like, how are you guys doing this? Not only that, before I even had mom friends, before I was a mom, I had three children very, very quickly. I had three kids in 3 years. Wasn't exactly the plan, but that's what happened. And we knew we wanted a big family. So there we go. And I saw my own children start to compensate for underlying root causes. So my daughter was having night terrors, yelling in the middle of the night. My son was mouth breathing. I'm seeing these symptoms and I'm looking for solutions, and I'm being told by the pediatricians that I had partnered with and trusted, and by ENTs that I've trusted. I'm being told by my trusted group of people that, you know what? It's totally normal. They will grow out of it. And what became frustrating for me as a parent is, no, I don't want to wait until they grow out of it. I don't want to wait till it gets worse and then have to do something more aggressive or invasive to correct the problem.
Yep.
Listen, I am a ferocious, relentless mom who wants the best for my kids, like right now. I don't want to wait for something better. So I think that one, my own personal journey and not having to deal with this as a child, but still having to, you know, compensate and work hard, just because life is hard. I mean, it's beautiful and I love life, but it can be challenging.
Yeah.
And then you partner that with some of the challenges that my kids have. I really just started to become obsessed with root causes. And I found, you know, a lot of some of these root causes originate within the oral cavity, within the upper and lower jaw. And so I became more aware of that. I started asking different questions. I started looking at children in a different way. Gone were the days that they had cavities and I just shook my finger and said, you know, brush your teeth, floss your teeth, eat better.
Right.
I had the benefit of meeting some really super healthy patients. They have low inflammatory diets, sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free. God bless their mothers, right? For preparing that and brushing their teeth and flossing their teeth and using the best products and still coming in with a mouthful of cavities. So I became relentless in finding what that solution
because
could be.
Because of that open mouth breathing and not sleeping properly at night.
Right. And the reason, and ultimately where I found is, hey, listen, these kids are so healthy and they're so strong. Their ability to compensate for the underlying root cause is incredible, but we don't want to take advantage of that because just because they can get away with it, eventually it catches up with them, which has really started my passion for helping with adults with some of the end stage sleep disorder breathing that are grinding teeth with, jaw pain and headaches and all of those things. It's a different set of solutions, but it's the same underlying root cause. It's just 40 years of poor oral habits that have led them to there. So that's where I love the kiddos because we can actually, not that they're broken, don't get me wrong, but we can actually fix them and save them from a lifetime of
Before it
compensation
gets to that stage.
before they get there. So, sometimes when I meet parents, I meet them all different versions of their journey. I'm meeting them, and this is absolutely all brand new concepts, but man, it really helps them understand what their child is doing. Sometimes I meet them, all the way through their journey where they've gone through traditional orthodontics or they've had tonsils and adenoids out. They've gone through a more traditional Western approach to helping with their symptoms. And so I think what's so important as dentists and as providers is that we really listen to the family, listen to what their goals are, and then help align with that in a way that really educates them so that they can choose what's best for their family. The first 10 years of my career, traveling the country and the world, quite honestly, educating dentists about oral appliance therapy or working with like-minded providers, whether that's a chiropractor, an ENT, or a functional medicine doctor, a nutritionist, whoever that team should be, how to build that team. And what I found, quite honestly, I am a dentist, so I'm kind of talking badly about myself here, is dentists are so overwhelmed with everything else we have to keep up with that that didn't make the impact that I wanted. So my audience has changed. Now who I want to talk to, now who I want to empower are these moms who are seeing their kids every day compensate, whether that's bedwetting or thumb sucking or, prolonged thumb sucking to, 5, 12. I had a 14-year-old just this morning sucking their thumb, whether
When
it's teeth.
people ask me when I stop sucking my thumb, I'm like 10.
Well, you know what?
But
And you hesitate to admit that, right? Because there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of maybe embarrassment associated with
And
that.
now I realize like how that played into all that happened to my airways.
Now you realize that you're a genius. It is brilliant that you figured out that if you suck your thumb and you bring your lower jaw forward, you're actually getting more oxygen into your body so your body can function the way it's supposed to. It's genius. I am so happy you sucked your thumb till 10. I'm sorry you felt the shame. And that's what I told the little boy this morning. I said, "You, buddy, you are a genius. I am so proud of you." And you kind of saw the shame lift off of his shoulders. Now, that being said, we know that we can't suck our thumb for during our teenage years. We know that goes exactly opposite of the downward forward growth that we want of the jaw. So, hey, we're not going to break a habit because your instinct to breathe is stronger than anything else. What we need to do is replace that thumb with something that allows you to still breathe effectively and grow the way you're supposed to because your body is perfect. It's so it can compensate when it doesn't get what it needs to get. And when you change that verbiage, children are a little bit more open-minded to oral appliance therapy or any treatment, whether it's appliances or not. They're more open to what that potential treatment could be, which, sometimes when parents are sitting down and we're talking about solutions for their kids, they have concerns. Will my child be compliant? Will they wear this appliance? And what I found is, just like anything else with a kid, it takes a little bit, right? It's a beat down, let's be honest.
Also
We're
depends
creating a
on
new
the kid a
routine.
lot, I think, as well,
It does for some kids.
and what
But
they respond to.
what I found is if you explain it to the child, yes, I know parents are listening to me, but if I sit across from the child and I say, "Hey, this is why you're sucking your thumb. You're brilliant, but this is how I can help you not suck your thumb, but still feel really good." Long-term, short and long-term compliance goes way up. These kids want to feel better. If it feels good, they want to do it. And so really helping them, empowering them as kids, give them credit for understanding how their brain works is really important.
This episode of Sleep Apnea Stories is sponsored by BetterHelp. How well we look after our mind really affects how we experience life. Therapy has been so helpful to me since I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. It helped me to work through the feelings I had about going undiagnosed for so long. It also helped me to adjust to living with a chronic condition. One of the best things about starting my podcast has been realizing I'm not alone in coping with mental health issues along with sleep apnea. Speaking to a professional therapist has helped me enormously to manage my anxiety and depression. BetterHelp is online therapy and it's much more affordable than in-person sessions. You can get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Emma. That's betterhelp.com/Emma.
One example I like to give a lot for kids, because this tends to just kind of ring true. And I say, hey, imagine if you wake up in the morning and you have cotton candy and Coke for breakfast. And they're always like, oh my gosh, best day, right? And I'm like, ugh, not at all. I said, you're going to have to go to school. You have to be with your friends. You have to listen to your teacher. You're going to have sports after school. You're going to have homework. Imagine how hard that's going to be, because you're going to have this cotton candy and Coke, this delicious breakfast. About 8:45, boom, you're going to run out of energy. You're going to be cranky. You're going to have a headache, but you still have to live that day. Now imagine the same kid wakes up and has a healthy breakfast, whatever that means. Is that avocado toast? Is that pancakes, eggs, what a smoothie, whatever. Same kid, but just very different version. The child who gets that healthy breakfast wakes up clear-headed, has energy all day long, not just for school, but for after school sports and homework. And so kids understand that dietary example. And I think it rings true with parents too, when they don't have a thorough understanding of how, you know, oxygen saturation through their airways is so important.
Yeah. So here's one of the things I wanted you to touch on. I watched all of your videos that you did with airway management. Like they have some videos of you, which I loved. And so one of the things you were talking about on there, which I'd never heard somebody describe it this way, but it's exactly perfect, is you were talking about people needing like a quarterback of care, like somebody to kind of like overview the whole. Can you, well, first of all, I had to ask my husband all exactly what a quarterback did, because I wasn't really sure. But he's just like, well, you know, like they're looking at the whole game and they're, you know, having to switch up plays depending on what's happening. And I was like, that's perfect. So do you want to explain a little bit about that and how what you see in the patients that are coming to you?
Yes, absolutely. I it's not an international example. You're exactly right. So I should work on that. But, you know, here in America, where we call football, you know, American football, not soccer, where we play football, the quarterback is the leader of the team. The quarterback is not only in charge of seeing the whole field, but changing the plan and being dynamic as the plays and as the game goes on. Yes. And so the quarterback is someone that everyone on the team can trust. The quarterback doesn't know everything, but knows enough to kind of put everything together to ultimately move the whole team forward down to score a touchdown, right? Yes. They want to keep things moving down the field. And so as I started talking to these parents, so they've seen all the best providers in town. Yes. They've seen the best chiropractor, the best ENT, the best everything. And they still didn't have a solution to ultimately what their issue was. Yeah. And so they've spent quite a bit of money.
Providers are really talking to each other, right? Is part of the problem.
Well, you know, there's always exceptions, but in my experience, no one gets their, you know, no one gets out of their kind of day-to-day zone and opens up the blinders and said, what is actually going on here? And so it as I'm trying to learn more, when I first started doing this, 15 years ago, and I'm trying to learn more and I'm trying to really understand what's going on with these, especially in little kids, adults as well, but really understand what's going on with their body. Listen, there's plenty of dentistry to do. I don't need to look for issues, but if something that I provide isn't going to help them, let's get them to the next place that can help them. I want these kids to win. Hopefully I can help them win, but if not, who can? So parents were coming in with, spending time, spending money, spending energy, thinking about and finding these plans and not feeling like they'd gotten anywhere. It made sense to me. Okay, tell me what you got. Tell me everything you know about your kid and what is working well for your family. What answers are still not answered? How can we put this all together to ultimately help your kid? And what I found, the more I did that, the more parents would look at me with these wide eyes, say, I can't believe you're spending this time talking about my kid. What does their bedwetting have to do with their mouth breathing? Well, we know those are linked, right? And I have stories of patients that they wear an oral appliance. As soon as their oxygen is stabilized, guess what? They wake up dry. What is this very nosy dentist asking about what we have for dinner? We don't have sugar, okay? Leave us alone. No, I understand. But your child just ate a block of cheese. That's really inflammatory. Now they can't breathe through their nose. Of course they're going to mouth breathe. Let's put the little mouse's cheese away, right? So there's so many different ways we can look at both behavior modification and treatment options to treat that whole kid rather than just treat the symptom that they're looking for. So I found parents were just overwhelmed with food that I spend the time to talk about it. And then what I learned was is some of the top doctors, some of the people that get the most recognition aren't necessarily the best fit for everybody. So that really just began a tireless campaign to find like-minded providers so that as I'm quarterbacking this care and as we're putting the picture together, we know exactly who to send them to solve the underlying issues that they're dealing with. And so I think that's probably what I'm most proud of in the last 15 years of being at Central Dentist here is creating a team of like-minded providers who ultimately I can refer to and really help provide solutions for these kiddos and for these parents that are lifelong solutions. It's absolutely the best thing
that,
ever.
That's really great that you do that because I think that there's something going on with the healthcare system in general, but specifically to do with anything to do with sleep apnea. It's almost like different providers think that somebody else is coordinating the care, but really oftentimes nobody is. Primary care physicians you would think would be in a good spot to do that, but I feel like because they're not really well trained in sleep, they kind of will refer to a sleep specialist, but that's kind of all they really know to do. I feel like it really involves dentists and like other professionals, primary care physicians haven't made those connections with, so it's good and I think you're doing that for people.
Well, thank you. And I have a lot of, I have a lot of sympathy for the primary care because they're looking at everything and they have, typically
7 minutes or something.
Right, exactly. They have an insurance driven model
and
it's really difficult, especially the past few years as people's fear of, all things going on in the world. And, they've had a lot to deal with. I also feel very strongly, and I work very closely with board certified sleep MDs, and they have a set of criteria that they're looking for. And those patients are very well treated by those board certified sleep docs, right? In that space. But what if the patient's over here and doesn't qualify?
Oh my gosh, that's my next question. Well, I've interviewed a number of people about this, but I just interviewed a sleep tech all about people who don't fit the criteria for, like, their AHI is not high enough for a sleep specialist to want to put them on CPAP or to really want to give them any treatment. They just pretty much get told your AHI is within the normal range and they get sent home. But so tell me about, because I talk all the time, especially to women who might have low AHIs, but they have a lot of symptoms. And so I feel like that's somewhere where, especially oral appliance therapy, but some other things too, can really help. So can you tell me a little bit about some patients that you've seen and how you see that
those
show
are my,
up?
those are my people. You know, those are the people we can really help. Now there's people, there's some patients that when they have their in-hospital sleep test, their polysomnogram, their AHI is a certain number, and they really need interventions that those MDs can provide. But the patients that we really look for are these young, we call them young fit females, right? So they're in their 30s and 40s. They have every reason in the world to be tired. They have a family, they have children, they're working, they have maybe adult parents who, aging parents who aren't healthy. So they're just running a million miles an hour. Of course they're exhausted, right? But also in addition to that, they're not getting the restful sleep that they need. And so they're presenting with symptoms like headaches in the morning, not from caffeine, but from this oxygen desaturation all night. They're grinding their teeth really hard. And so they have TMJ issues, not necessarily from anatomical bony issues, but from muscular issues. They're having muscular dysfunction. And so here in Dallas, Texas, the number one thing they do is they put Botox, they freeze the muscle. So they take a dysfunctional muscle and make it even more dysfunctional by putting Botox in it. So we see all of these symptoms. Well, now if I have the privilege of being your dentist, of course I don't want you grinding your teeth, but I want to understand why it is you're grinding those teeth.
Yes.
Is it because you have a parasite in situation and we do a parasite cleanse and now you don't grind your teeth? That's always a weird conversation. They come to the dentist and I talk about, you know, worms and parasites that they're going to pass. We'll save that for another talk. But anyway, you know, if they're grinding their teeth because their tongue is falling back into their airway, the very last thing that we want to do is make them an oral appliance that fits on the top or just on the bottom, because that presence of material then pushes the jaw posteriorly even further.
So we have to be super clear about, you're talking about if you go to a regular dentist and you grind your teeth, they'll give you what I would call a mouth guard, something
they'll
that
give
just
you
fits
a...
in to stop you grinding, or like to stop the wear on your teeth from the grinding, but it doesn't really solve the underlying issue.
The root cause, it doesn't. And so I had a patient last week that came and had, she was a new patient. She goes, well, I have this night guard, and it was torn apart. I said, oh, did your dog get a hold of it? And she goes, oh, no, that's just me. I'm like, oh, I mean, it was just ripped to shreds. I was almost concerned. I couldn't believe she put it in for fear that she would aspirate a piece of it.
Yes.
I mean, it was just torn to shreds. And I said, oh, well, how long have you had this? She's like, about 6 months. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you had this appliance for 6 months. Do you mind if I ask how much you invested in it? And she's like, oh, well, it was like $2,000. It wasn't bad. And this one is going to may last longer because I've had to get a new one every year for the past 8 years. So I'm like, doing the math on this, I'm like, who is your dentist? I'd love to take a sales test or class from him. How is he convincing you to get this appliance that isn't working?
Doing the same thing.
Just, well, I have this crown and you know, he just said, if I didn't get it, that I was going to grind through the crown. I understand. But the one with this patient, I said, let's think about this a different way. You're grinding your teeth, right? Your teeth are only supposed to touch each other when you talk and when you eat during the day. At night, they're supposed to relax. So all night long, you're grinding on it as evidence. I mean, you're telling me, because look at your mouth guard, these forces. So that force has to go somewhere. Where is it going to go? It's going to be absorbed a little bit in that night guard that they made. It's going to go into the teeth. It's going to go into the gingiva. It's going to go into the muscles. It's going to go into the TMJ. It's going to the muscles back here. The body is so miraculous. It absorbs that force. So this patient, when she came in, had horrible inflammation, had periodontal disease, impeccable oral hygiene, had levels of inflammation that you would expect from, you know, someone not taking care of themselves. And that's because the force of that grinding was so strong, it was causing inflammation even in the gums. So I told her, you know, we took a, I'm very proud that we have a 3D CBCT machine in my office, and we're able to take a 3D CBCT and visualize the volume of that airway in a standing position. She, or the size of her airway was teeny tiny, right? So I showed her the posterior third of her tongue. I showed her how this, it was difficult to get air into that appliance, into that airway. And then if we introduce an appliance that has even minimal thickness, it's going to push the jaw backwards into the airway. Now she has to compensate or grind.
So when you're saying appliance, you're talking about mouth guard, right? I'm just, because we're about to talk about oral appliances and people are going to be like, what?
Well, I think, you know, there's so many different words that you can use.
You have
a night guard, a retainer, an appliance. I think what's really important, what differentiates the things that I'm not happy with versus the things I do like, the appliances that we do like change the relationship of the jaws to help you breathe. Yeah. They're not just a single thing. I'll tell you what, you can't buy them over the counter. You can't buy them at Amazon. They're customized, titratable, 3D printed appliances that change the position of the jaws. Mm-hmm. And so I know I'm probably making it confusing, but these patients, this is what it's called. So dentists call it all different times.
Yeah, they do, definitely, which is why I think that's why it's so confusing.
Right. You can't just go in and say, I'd like an appliance. There are, you know, when we go to fill out the prescription to the lab to make this appliance, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of appliances that we can make. So the concept is, I think the important takeaway that your listeners should understand is, we're not just looking for something to put in the mouth. Right. We're looking for something to treat the root cause that's causing the symptoms that are concerning. Because if we treat that root cause, so if we get the tongue out of the airway, then guess what? The symptom resolves. And by the way, that looks a lot of different ways depending on where you go. I was in Hong Kong lecturing at the University of Hong Kong about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And the way that they treated it is they sutured the tongue to the tip of the nose. And so that does it. That's awesome. The tongue is out of the airway. They're breathing beautifully. The problem is these children were hospitalized and on a feeding tube. So it really affects the quality of life, right? So, you know, there's ENTs, one of the top ENTs here in Dallas, cuts off the posterior third of the tongue. Awesome. Opens up the airway. But painful. Again, you just had your tongue cut off. So there's lots of different ways. I think the most important thing that patients keep in mind is the understanding, I got to keep my tongue out of the airway.
Yeah.
If I can bring that forward, I'm going to breathe.
So it. I know there's all sorts of different types of oral appliances or mandibular advancement devices or whatever you want to call that. But so essentially what we're talking about is an appliance that fits on the teeth, upper and lower. And then somehow by different mechanisms, the lower jaw is positioned slightly forward so that it brings the tongue and soft tissue out of the airway.
Yeah, absolutely.
How'd I do?
Yeah, absolutely. That tongue attaches to the lower jaw. It's a muscle. And so if you bring, and you can even feel that, even if you don't need one, if you can just test it on yourself at home, if you bring your lower jaw forward, you're bringing your tongue, this isn't a very cute demo, but bear with me. If you bring it forward, you bring the tongue out of that airway, you can take a deeper breath doing that. Now, these appliances don't bring it that far forward. We have to keep in mind that we want to protect the TMJ and the muscles and all of that.
Yeah.
But yes, that's essentially the concept, is bringing that lower jaw forward. There's a ton of different appliances that are out there that can help. You know, I don't really have any appliance loyalty. I like to use the one that works best for each patient. I have found, and I haven't used them all, I would never venture to say that, but I've used quite a few of them.
Yeah.
What I found is utilizing an appliance that changes that relationship with an attachment in the front. So it's uniform on either side. So we're getting a uniform pressure forward that brings that tongue forward. That's titratable, because meaning adjustable, because we do see these patients as they begin to sleep better or breathe better and ultimately sleep better. We see them heal and take advantage of these how the body naturally detoxes itself at night. And so where they are today may not be the same adjustment as to where they are in the future because they're healing and getting better, which is super exciting.
So essentially, a person who has that we just talked about, that's gone to have a polysomnogram and it's found that their AHI, you know, the doctor says it's too low for CPAP or whatever treatment. So that person can go to a specially trained dentist like you and get an oral appliance, essentially, is what we're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So other things, I think the doctors and dentists are still fighting over exactly which metrics are most important. And I love participating in those conversations.
Me too. Favorite
it's so
subject.
Fun, right? Yeah. It's great. Favorite subject. I love you're nerdier than we are. I love that.
I'm so much nerdier. I could just be like, let's talk all, because especially the more people that I talk to who, and it's not necessarily always women, but especially people with lower AHIs, who now that the technology is improving, we're realizing, you know, from home sleep tests and different technology, that these people are waking up like every time they have any sort of apnea or hypopnea, and
Right.
so they're not getting deep, restful sleep. Like they might
That's
not be
part of it.
hitting the AHI that doctors would consider sleep apnea, but their
Right.
life is disrupted, you know?
Right. Which those are my favorite patients because when we see this fluctuation in oxygen, they then have to compensate. And so if they do a screening, like a pull oxygen saturation screening, it'll show us how often and how severe that oxygen dips. And if it dips a little bit or a lot, their body has to compensate. So we're seeing a resting heart rate, you know, a very healthy resting heart rate double and sometimes triple when that oxygen dips. And that reaction is a sympathetic reaction that's driven by cortisol. And so if that's happening frequently, not necessarily of the sleep apnea severity, but still happening, then we're seeing that cortisol-driven sympathetic reaction happening throughout the night. And then these women that are waking up in the day, they have altered cortisol levels, and they're already living these big, beautiful lives as mothers. And this is men too. I'm just honing in on women because I am a woman, but we're seeing, you know, they're living these big, beautiful lives during the day where they actually need the cortisol. Well, guess what? Of course, their adrenals are exhausted and they're suffering from adrenal fatigue and brain fog and altered hormonal levels, right?
And
Altered thyroid
anxiety,
levels.
like the
Yeah.
levels of anxiety are just
They're
through the
through the
roof
roof, and
often.
we have enough to be anxious about, like legit. We don't need
Keeping little people alive.
that. Exactly. And in the world we're living in, we don't need this additional cortisol activity at night. We're supposed to recover at night for the big, beautiful life we live during the day. And so those are really great patients that can benefit from opening up that airway through oral appliance therapy. Because we can keep their oxygen stable. If their oxygen doesn't dip throughout the night, they don't have to compensate for it. They can actually take advantage of all the sleep cycles so their bodies can really reset, detox, and repair before the next day. And
Are there
so,
people that you see? Like, I feel like my email inbox is filled with people that go, I love my CPAP. And then the next person's like, I hate my CPAP. And then, you know, like one person's like, I got an oral appliance. It's just amazing. And then the next person's like, didn't really work for me. So are
yeah.
there particular rules or are there particular types of people who do well with oral appliance therapy over other things? Or
I
is it a
yeah,
trial and error thing?
that's a really great question. I love that. Yes, absolutely. There's some people that, you know, it kind of depends on what their reality is and what they're willing to accept. And that always astounds me, you know, when people say, well, this is just the way my life is. And that's wonderful, but I'm like, but you know, that's just because that's how you're accepting it. You're like, you can change your reality. You can change your world in a heartbeat. You can make everything different in a heartbeat. So that always astounds me when they accept those types of things. You know, a
Like they
CPAP,
don't even want to venture into treating their
or
sleep apnea
yeah, or
or
they
sleep
just, you
disordered
know,
breathing, because
yeah, or they say, you know, oral appliance therapy, for example, you have to be able to breathe through your nose. And so if your nose is stuffy, we've got to do something to open your nose, whether it's nasal lavage, whether it's diet elimination for 30 days, cutting down the cheese, or the
People just
dairy,
don't want to
the
change,
gluten, the
is
sugar.
the.
They don't want to change, which is, by the way,
I
none
mean,
of my business.
I know because I feel for those people because I don't do well with dairy or with gluten. Like I, you know, I'm constantly in this like trying to reduce inflammation, but I feel like I love dairy and I love gluten, but it's
Well, you know
just
what?
like
Then
it
that's
doesn't love me back.
right. I hear you. But here's the thing. It is not my job or anyone else's job to tell you what to do. The whole purpose
Just
of
educate them
doctors
on
is
what's
to educate.
happening.
So for example, I am gluten and dairy and essentially sugar-free. Now, last night it was, you know, 70 degrees. I'm sitting in the backyard with my family and I drank a beer and it was delicious and I wouldn't take it back, but my face will be red from the gluten next 3 days. And I know that. And I'm going to accept my beautiful red face for 3 days because that beer tasted so damn good. But the point is, if I didn't understand that, then I would love for someone to explain that's my reaction.
Yes.
I don't care what my patients decide, as long as they understand both the pros and the cons of what they're deciding. So by the way, oral
Yes.
appliance therapy, both in children and adults, is fabulous if they want it. It's not all rainbows and unicorns, right? There's negatives to it. For an adult, for example, wearing one of those appliances, hey, buddy, you have to wear it every night for it to work,
Yes.
right? That's a disadvantage to it. There's other approaches out there that other really talented doctors are doing, whether it's surgical or TADS, you know, where they're expanding jaws. All those things are great. And by the way, those approaches aren't perfect either. There's
Right.
pros and cons to each. So
Yes.
it's our job as providers to educate. Now, I'm not an oral surgeon. I don't do the surgery, but I can talk about the advantages and disadvantages on a superficial level to see if
Yeah.
the patient may be interested. And if they are interested, guess what? The best surgeon in town is right down the street. Let's get you
Yes.
in front of him so you can ask those questions. So I think it's important to understand CPAP users, for example, some people love their CPAP and I'm so happy for them. Other patients, yes, we're getting the quantity of air, it's blowing it through their airway, but they're not getting the quality because it's blowing it at such a pressure their nose can't humidify and get that purify and get that air ready for the body. So understanding why they may or may not like it, and then providing a solution that maybe answers what those are can be really helpful for a patient. And
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I find that a lot of doctors aren't necessarily taking the time to have these conversations. And so now more than ever, patients have to be their own advocate. They have to
They
ask
do.
questions. They go online. They look at sites like yours. They're beautiful, that give them information, give them access to information, so they feel more empowered to make a decision. I actually just wrote a book. It's coming out in mid-April. It's called Moms in the Trenches, because I
So
think,
excited.
hey, thank you. Well, we'll see how it goes. My
Can I
mom,
pre-order it?
I think you can. I'll have to ask my publisher, but I think you can. But the exciting part is, you know, I used to travel around and educate dentists, or really try to share my perspective with dentists. And what I found was dentists were so busy in their offices, and I get it. I'm right there with them. And I really found the people who were advocating for these children are the moms. So the book is really targeted towards the mom who, like the title says, moms in the trenches, they're looking for solutions, they're looking for information, and empowering them to now make decisions based on additional information that maybe their providers haven't given them.
I'm just chuckling because my kid's pediatric dentist is just like every time I go, I bring her a new book.
I love
Because
that.
I feel like eventually something in one of these books is going to click for her, and she's going to, but I feel like, you know, she's the mother of three. She's running this dental practice, and, you know, like it's really, really busy, and they're, you know, it's a beautiful office, and they're just doing their, you know, drilling and filling and turning the kids over and all of that. And I just, hopefully at some point you
I know,
feel
and you
like
know,
maybe.
there's a place for that. We need the
Right.
dentist to sit
Right.
down and drill and fill,
Definitely.
but we also need, or I would even say, and this might be a little aggressive, we owe it to our patients to look for more information to educate them.
I really want you to, so you're probably sick of telling the stories and stuff, but I
Not
love
at
the
all.
story on that YouTube interview where you were talking about a mother of the marathon runner. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to tell that whole story? Because I just love that.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. I love that. You know what? I actually have an even better story. Well,
Oh
not
my
better.
gosh.
That story is amazing. But another story, because I'm really into, not that I'm ever going to do it, but
Right.
maybe I will. But I'm really into the mentality of these ultra runners, right? So
Right.
they don't just go out and run a half marathon. They're running hundreds of miles in a
Yes.
row without stopping. So
Yeah.
they need this peak performance, right? Their diet has to be right, which I don't understand, because the story of the boy that I told, or the man that I told, he would eat a whole cheese pizza and drink like a 2 liter of Coke just to get that immediate energy to keep running. And what was always missing was the oxygen while they sleep. There are these very high, so this woman was running, there's a race, and I won't say the name of it. It's in Switzerland, and it was a French name, and so I won't butcher the name of it, but it's a very famous run amongst ultra runners, which I'm not an ultra runner. I'm just a big fan, apparently. I'm just a wannabe ultra runner, right? Just a wannabe ultra. So she was training for it, and her diet was impeccable. Her mentality was impeccable. Her training was impeccable. And she'd never finished the race. Now, this part I think is important to tell, maybe not the most politically correct, but I think it's important. To enter the race alone is $32,000. Then you must go early to train at altitude and get used to it. You must bring a team. You must bring your own food. It's completely self supported, right? So when I go run a 5K, I love it. They've got my Gatorade. They've got my little snacks at the end. Yeah. It's great, right? You just show up and enjoy. So she really wanted to finish it. So she's doing everything she can. No one had ever evaluated her sleep before. No one had ever done a sleep test. Now she's done, you know, her cardio fitness. So she's worn a mask and tested her cardio fitness and all that, but no one had ever looked at how she slept at night. So she did a home sleep screening, with one of our, she was extremely fit. Her resting heart rate was 22 per minute. Resting pulse oximetry, oxygen was like 99%. It's never 100%, but like 99 is fabulous. Yeah. So here is this incredibly fit woman who I'm trying to become best friends with. And I'm trying to like join her support team to go to Switzerland. And what we found at night when she slept is her oxygen went from 99 down to 64%. Now, to give reference to that, if she were on Grey's Anatomy, that very popular TV show, if she were on Grey's Anatomy, if her oxygen dropped below about 92,
they would be like,
code blue, go get her, right? They have registered brain damage at 84%. So for this very, very fit woman to have a drop even lower than that, she had brain fog. She'd already forget. She did triathlons too. And she told me the hardest part of the triathlon is remembering where she left her bike. So when she came out of the swim to find her bike, I'm like, that literally is the hardest part. She had this amount of brain fog that she just kind of dealt with. And so we talked about that. And by the way, that her AHI was not anything that a sleep MD would be concerned about, not anything that would necessitate, you know, a CPAP or anything mm-hmm. like that, but something that was affecting her overall health and wellness. And for an elite athlete, you want to tweak that. So we made her an appliance that changed the relationship between her upper and lower jaw, brought her tongue forward. And sometimes, you know, the sleep disordered breathing patient can have a bit of a stigma. Is it old fat grandpa over on the recliner who's snoring during the, you know, football game? She was a fit woman. She had a lot of muscle here on her chest, right? Yep. Cause she was a runner. So perhaps that's why her tongue fell back into her airway. So she didn't fit the classic mold of someone we would assume would have sleep disorder breathing. We fit her with the appliance. She starts sleeping with it. Man, was she mad. She hates that appliance. So the first couple of days she hated it. You know, and I think, you know, I think I even gave it to her for free. I'm like, just do this. And then
because you want to be your friend. So
I want to be your best friend. And I wanted her to thank me at the top of the mountain. I did it. Thank you, Dr. Jill. Right, no, I'm teasing. Actually, I'm not. That was legit.
No, I know. Exactly.
Best friends. I'm going to go to Switzerland and make my ultra running dreams come true through her. So I said, just keep trying. So she kept trying. Finally, she got used to it. She got a good night's sleep. And her body went from this sympathetic go, 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 which she always thought was the high achiever part of her, which by the way, she is wired differently. The fact that she can do these ultra tests.
Yeah.
But that go, 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 go turned into a parasympathetic rest and digest. So she felt terrible. She felt worse than she did before she tried the appliance. And so I explained to her, this is your body paying back that oxygen debt, paying back that sleep debt. Stay with it. This is just as important. Stay with it for 30 days. See how you do. Oh, she was mad. She had her coach call me. She had everybody call me. They were mad. I said, well, do whatever you'd like to do. But if you'll give me 30 days, this will make a big difference. And I'll prove it through metrics. So we did a repeat screening to show that her oxygen was stable. You know, we're proving through metrics that this is working.
So you're doing home testing and showing.
We're just doing that oxygen saturation screening is all we're doing. Just throwing that on her finger to see what her oxygen's doing at night. And as a screening test. It's improving. It's stabilizing. 30 days later, it took her a little less, it took about 3 weeks. She turns a corner and she says that she hasn't felt that joyful when she was running, that she was kind of, what was the word? She's stagnant in her training leading up to Switzerland, but now she had a renewed sense of energy. Hopewell just had some oxygen in her muscles, and that's, it was helping propel her forward. So now she won't leave without it when she stops to sleep. Cause when you run that far, you stop for an hour or two to sleep every 24 hours. So when she stops, her support team gives her the appliance. So she gets in her little sleeping bag and wears the appliance that brings the tongue out of the airway. And she's happy as can be. Now it's a happy ending cause she did great. The follow-up.
So she finished the race.
She finished the race, and she retired from ultra marathon. That was it. That's the last thing she wanted to do.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's unfortunate because I was not invited to Switzerland, and now she's retired. So my ultra running dreams have been put back on hold. But you know, it was something that was
that's really amazing though,
and she feels great, and now she is. You can't buy marketing like that for your practice. You can't, unfortunately now she sends me all kinds of people and I'm like, I can't, I can't help them with this. They have chicken pox. Like that doesn't, but
right.
To really change somebody's, trajectory or
because
to change.
I think, so I've talked to people who have had, sleep studies, and I think that sometimes people are not getting, like they're thinking percentages, like A, B, and C or something. So people are kind of like, well, I mean, my oxygen desaturation was down to like 72, and I'm kind of going, oh, and you know, like they're like, well, that's not a bad grade. And you're like, that's not how oxygen desaturation works. Like everything out of the 90s isn't
great. You're getting a C minus, but like you could also get an A plus. So I think one thing that has to change in the overall dichotomy of our thinking is there are a lot of patients that have sleep apnea and they should be treated by an MD. And so far CPAP therapy is gold standard. Now we see some of those patients that see there's ways for us to work together. There's a lot of patients and they have to be treated by that doctor.
People with now, really severe sleep apnea,
they need that help. But just because you don't have severe sleep apnea doesn't mean you're healthy.
Right.
There's a whole range of people in between who could benefit from an intervention. And so, another example I like to give is, hey, listen, I don't need open heart surgery, right? I don't need quadruple bypass surgery. Great. So I'm totally fine. Well, but also could we have nutritional counseling? Can we have cardiotherapy? Are there any supplements or pharmaceuticals that could help me? I'm glad I don't have to have quadruple bypass. Does that mean I'm completely healthy? That example rings true to patients. Yeah. And so, by the way, if you want to wait until you need quadruple bypass, that's one approach to life. But if you're looking to be the absolute healthiest version of yourself and have everything working the best way possible, there might be room for a conversation to improve how you breathe while you sleep at night.
Yep. For reals. Listen, thank you so much for joining me. I could talk to you for 4 hours.
I know. Thank you so much. You were so lovely on your and in person or, chatting. So thank you. It's such an honor to get to chat with you. And I really appreciate and respect what you're doing because people are coming to you for information and you are using your power for good. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And tell people real quick where they can find you and give us a little plug for the book again.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Dr. Jill Umbrello at Central Dentist in Dallas, Texas. You can find me on Instagram at jumbrello or at Central Dentist. And my book, Moms in the Trenches, will be dropping mid-April on Amazon, or you can visit centraldentist.com and order it from there.
Thanks so much for listening. I love hearing from you. If you'd like to be featured in an upcoming episode, please email me at sleepapneastories@gmail.com. That's also the place to get in touch if you just want to say hi or ask a question. Alternatively, you can always reach me on Instagram. My handle there is @sleepapneastories. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen. This really helps a wider audience to find the episodes, and I really appreciate it.